Shmuel Beis, Perek Yutes. Avshalom was killed. He was riding the mule. His hair got caught on the branch from an elm tree. He was left suspended. And then Yoav came and stabbed him, and the men surrounded him and beat him, and Avshalom was killed. David was brought the news. Yoav knew that David would be very upset. And he discouraged Ahimaaz, the son of Tzadok, wanted to run and bring the news. And he said, you shouldn't be hasty to bring the news. David is going to be very upset. He sent the Cushi, this black person who had been the one to see Avshalom suspended from the tree. The Cushi went, and Ahimaaz, the son of Tzadok, went, and David heard the news. That was the end of Perek Yutches. Perek Yutches. Vayirgaz HaMelech. And the king trembled. When David HaMelech heard that his son Avshalom was killed, he trembled. He trembled, realizing what had happened to him. This was his second son that had been killed. He had a son, Amnon, who was his bechor, his firstborn, and Amnon had been killed by Avshalom. And now his second son, and Amnon was the Bechor, was his firstborn. That was a very special son. And he was killed. And now he had a son, Avshalom, who also had the makings of greatness. He was a Nozir. We learned he had many great qualities. And now Avshalom was killed, also with a Misa Mishuna in a very unusual way. And as tragic as that would happen, it shouldn't happen to anyone we know, Lo Aleinu, but if that would happen to anybody, they would be distraught. And here David HaMelech has additional knowledge that he was to blame in a sense. He was told that somebody would arise from his own household against him because of the incident with Bathsheba. So here he had this tragedy. And he sort of felt he's guilty for it. So Vayirgaz, he heard this and he was shaken up, he trembled. And he didn't just tremble as a father would in such a case. But it was Vayirgaz HaMelech, the king trembled. Because David HaMelech's whole goal in being the king of Klal Yisrael was to do tztaka u'mishpat, to do charity and justice, to draw the nation closer to Hashem. And here his own family seemed to be not the role model, but the ideal of what not to be. These things were happening in his household as the king. How could he be the model for the nation? What kind of an example is it setting? Vayal, and he went up al Aliyas Hashar, above the gate where the watchman had stood for the lookout. Above that gate there was a room on the wall. And he went up there to the Aliyas Hashar, to that chamber above the gate, Vayefk, and he cried. He went up, simply he wanted to be alone, it could be. He was so taken aback by this tragedy, he went by himself to cry. We'll see, he had ideas what he could do to help Avshalom, because he realized not only did Avshalom lose it in this world, and was killed in such a tragic manner, but we'll see shortly, as we mentioned, when he was suspended from the tree, he realized Gehenna was open below him. And Avshalom was doomed in the world to come also. So he went to this room to be alone, to figure out what to do for his son Avshalom. And it could be he didn't want the people to see him in his extreme grief. So he went up to this room. V'cho Amar Belechto. And so he said as he was going, B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom. As the Malbim explains, Avshalom's not a stranger. Avshalom's not a criminal, a terrible person. He's my son. B'ni Avshalom, it's my son Avshalom. B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom. The simple meaning is he keeps on repeating it because he's so upset. And that's the way a person is when he's so distraught and so overcome with emotion. But Chazal learned out every phrase, B'ni Avshalom, my son Avshalom, meaning it's my son, And it's a special son. It's not just one of the crowd. Each son had its own specialness. This is my son, Avshalom. Miyitein Musi, who would give, like Halavai, I just wish that I instead would be Ani Sachtecha, I would be instead of you, Avshalom. David says, I wish I would have died, he said, instead of you. David HaMelech realized, again, it was because of what happened with Bathsheba, that somebody was going to rise up against him. And it didn't have to be Avshalom, it could have been somebody else. But it was going to happen. And when Avshalom was the one who was inclined to turn against David, he would not have the Siyata Dishmaya and the help. You know, sometimes a person thinks of doing an Avera, and just the things don't fall into place and it doesn't happen. And therefore he never did the Avera. But there's a certain Siyata Dishmaya a person needs that he shouldn't stumble. And here Avshalom was ready to turn against David and he didn't have Siyata Dishmaya. And it happened. If I, David HaMelech said, if I would have died instead of Avshalom because of what I did, so Avshalom would have had the Siyata Dishmaya, could be he never would have sinned, could be this tragedy wouldn't have happened in the royal family. And he's not just speaking as a father, but it's by Yirgaz HaMelech, as a king. What's going to be with Klal Yisrael if this is the royal family? It would have been better if I, David, would have been killed and Avshalom would have remained alive and been on the correct path. Avshalom, Avshalom, b'ni, b'ni, my son, he said Avshalom, meaning he called him by his name, Avshalom. And what happened was, b'ni, b'ni, again, it's because it's my son. What happened to him is my fault. So every time he said b'ni, he had a different realization. It was because of him and because Avshalom was special and Avshalom was his son. Vayugad liyoav. It was told to Yoav that hinei, a chiddush, surprising, an unbelievable, unusual occurrence. Hamelech bocha, the king is crying, vayisabel, and he mourns. He's lamenting, al Avshalom, what happened to Avshalom. Vatehi hatashua bayomahu, the salvation of that day became le'evel, mourning, l'chol ha'am, for all the people. Instead of being their victory parade, that David HaMelech's forces had overcome the enemy of Avshalom, all of a sudden everyone was in mourning. Kishama ha'am, the people heard, Bayomahu, on that day, Lamar saying, Netzav HaMelech al Beno, the king is saddened over his son. And again, the Malbim points out, it's so brilliant and so meduyik, so exact in the Pesukim. If you carefully compare Pasuk Beis and Pasuk Gimel, Yoav heard that the king was mourning Vayisabel al Avshalom. He was mourning over Avshalom. That's not what the people heard. The people heard the king was Netzav, saddened. Netzav HaMelech, the king was saddened about his son. So as the Malbim explains, Yoav knew the king would be saddened about his son. That wasn't at all surprising. Especially, I would point out that word hine is like something unusual. Hine, behold, a surprising, it was something we didn't expect. Yoav knew that David would be upset. When Achimatz wanted to run and bring the news, Yoav said, don't run, because David HaMelech will not be happy to hear that we won. David is just going to ask what happened to Avshalom, and if it's bad news, David is going to be upset. So Yoav knew that David would be upset. He knew that Netzav HaMelech al Beno, the king would be saddened over his son. Not everybody realized it. Achimatz initially thought that he should run and bring the good news that the rebellion was over. And there were a lot of Klal Yisrael who thought that David HaMelech would be happy that his life was safe and his household would be protected and he still had the monarchy and the rebellion was put down. So for Yoav, it says, the surprising thing was he was mourning over Avshalom. When somebody is Haruge Malchus, if somebody's killed by Bezdin, so there's no mourning over him. The person deserved it, he did a crime and he was warned and there were witnesses, whatever. If somebody is killed Alpi Bezdin or Alpi the king, if somebody deserved death in a case like this, the family does not mourn. Because it would seem as if it was they're sad about what happened, and that's what had to happen. Or it's Bezdin paskind. Bezdin decided that this person deserves the death sentence. There's no mourning. But here, Yoav heard that the king is mourning al Avshalom, meaning not even as a son. As Avshalom, he feels that Avshalom was not so bad. Avshalom wanted to be the king, perhaps, as we've mentioned before. He wanted to be the next king after David. It shouldn't be Shlomo, it should be him. But he didn't intend to kill David. We don't see that he killed anyone during this rebellion. I mean, he had killed Amnon earlier, but he felt Avshalom was not so bad. Vayis'abel al Avshalom. He was mourning over Avshalom. While for the people, they were even surprised that David was sad in Netzav HaMelech al Beno. He saddened over his son. In the balance, knowing that his life was protected, and that all of us that in his army and all of his loyal servants and everybody who had put our lives on the line to defend David are now safe, they felt it should have been not mourning, at least not so sad, and there could be different emotions, but it should be a day of happiness. Vayiskanev ha'am. But they realized it wasn't. Vayiskanev ha'am bayomahu. The people stole back on that day, lovo here, to go back into the city. Kasher yiskanev ha'am ha'nichlomim. Like a nation that's, a people that's humiliated, would steal back. When they fled from battle. If there's a rout and the army runs from the battlefield, they quietly slip into their house. They don't want anybody to see that. They take off the uniform, they pretend the war never happened. They're embarrassed. And that's the way it came back. There was a feeling as if they would have failed in the war, as if they were defeated and fled the battle. They didn't do their job, and they quickly stole back into their house. And the Pusuk keeps on stressing. In Pusuk Gimel we had the Tshua Bayomahu on that day was a mourning. Because the people heard Bayomahu on that day. And Vayiskanev ha'am Bayomahu, they stole back on that day. There's a constant stress because, of course, afterwards, after the dust settles, David HaMelech is going to mourn over what happened to him. This whole episode was tragic. But the initial reaction they felt should have been one of saying, at least Baruch Hashem, Avshalom is now no longer a threat. We're all safe. But on that day, on the day of victory, it was immediately such a drastic mourning, the people were embarrassed and humiliated. V'hamelech lo'at esponov. And the king wrapped his face, like in mourning, as if he didn't want to see the sun. The sunshine is just inappropriate for him. And he wrapped his face. Nobody should see him. Vayizak hamelech kol gadol. And the king cried out in a loud voice, B'ni Avshalom, my son, Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, Avshalom, my son. He just didn't seem to be able to get over it. The Gemara says in Sota, Rashi brings down, it says 8 times, the word my son. Counting Pusuk Aleph, where it says 5 times, B'ni Avshalom, B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom b'ni v'ni, it says 5 times my son. And now in this Pasuk Hey, it says another 3 times, my son. B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom b'ni v'ni. And the Gemara says in Sota, on Daf Tesamid Beis, actually on Daf Yudamid Beis, the Gemara says, Hani t'manya b'ni lama. Why does the Pusuk say 8 times that word? Why did David HaMelech say 8 times B'ni? Shiva da'aske mishiva medure gehenim. 7 times brought Avshalom up from the 7 chambers of Gehenim. That he was in the lowest place of Gehenim. And when David HaMelech davened, my son! It's like Avshalom was lifted up one level. My son! He went up another level. And every time that David HaMelech said, my son, he rose up a level. V'idach. So that accounts for 7 times. What's that 8th word? The 8th b'ni. V'idach and the other times. The other time. Ika da'amri, one opinion is, dekariv reishe legabe gufe. That when he was killed, his head was severed from the body. The Marsha points out, because it says his head was suspended, was caught in the Elah, in this tree. And the way the pasuk is worded, it's vayechzak rosho v'ela. His head was caught in the tree. It should have said his body was caught by the hair or something. His head was caught, perhaps, is where Chazal saw that the head was separated. So by saying b'ni, miraculously the head came together with the body. V'ika da'amri, and others say, da'aisi la'alma da'asi. That when David HaMelech said that eighth time b'ni, he was able to bring Avshalom into Gan Eden. He brought him into Olam Haba. Tosfos points out a number of things. First of all, there's a machlokas. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Rabbi Meir says Avshalom does not have a chelik in Olam Haba. And he would be the opinion that say that the eighth b'ni brought the body and the head together, but it didn't bring Avshalom into Gan Eden. Meaning, he would be in the category of lochayin velo nidonim, among those that are sort of stuck in limbo. In other words, he's not in Olam Haba, he's not in Gehenim. But the Neshama is sort of caught in no man's land. In other words, he wasn't brought into Gan Eden. And there's such an opinion that Rabbi Meir holds, Avshalom doesn't have a chelik in Olam Haba. The other opinion is that eighth b'ni brought Avshalom into Gan Eden, brought him into Olam Haba. And the question is, the Gemara says in Chelek, in Sanhedrin, on Daf Kuf Dalet, Bro Mizaki Abba, a son can bring a zechus, a child can bring a zechus for the parent. Abba lo Mizaki Bro, while a parent cannot help out a child. As the Pasuk says, V'ein miyodi matzil, there's no one who's going to save from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If somebody deserves a punishment, there's like, as if nobody can save him. If that's what's destined to happen. Avram won't save Yishmael, and Yitzchak can't save Esau. Everyone's got to stand for himself when he gets to Olam Haba. Nobody's going to pull him out and save him. And the Mefarshim say, the Rashba says, that the explanation is, in the Tshuvas, in the Responsa, that a son can bring Zechus to a parent because he wouldn't be here without a parent. In other words, whatever he does is attributed to the parent. His whole existence is because of his parent. So when he does a zechus, that helps the parent. But a parent, why should a parent's merit help out the child? And it doesn't. The question is, how do we understand this? David seemed to be able to pull, according to this Manda Amar, according to both. He pulled him out of Gehenim, and it could be even brought him into Olam Haba. How did he do it if a parent can't do that for a child? And Tosfos' lesson is such a lesson for us. The first answer Tosfos mentions is that, first of all, Avshalom didn't have the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about people who are involved in idol worship, which is the greatest Aveira, to believe in the existence of any other power besides Hashem. Avshalom didn't have the Aveira of Avodah Zarah. And he suffered in his lifetime. He suffered with his death. So combining the fact that he didn't do the worst things, and he suffered, perhaps that's how David was able to help him. And the second answer, Inami, I'll read the words of Tosfos on Daf Yud Amud Beis. Motzi Lameimar, you could say as follows, Hod Amar Abalo Mizaki Bro. When it says that a father cannot bring a zechus for the child, Hainu Mishum Kavod Ha'av, that means the father can be the greatest person, but out of deference for the parent, in the Beis Din Shalmala, we don't save the child. It can be a father like Avram, but it's not going to help a Yishmael. And a father like Yitzchak won't help an Esav. Ein Monim Milim Nosen Im Rishoyim. That's not going to, just because he has a great father, won't save him from being counted with the Rishayim. Below tefillah. But Tosfos says that's without davening. Just having a great parent doesn't help the child. Aval tefillah mo'eles. But tefillah helps. V'david hispalel al Avshalom. And David davened for Avshalom. So it comes out, according to Tosfos, a parent could do almost anything for a child. He can pull him out. It can be the worst child. Who's stuck in Gan and the lowest levels of Gehenim, but with tefillah, what a parent can accomplish with davening can help the child even when nothing else does. And to make the lesson even greater, Tosfos says, even though a father can't help, a parent can't help out the child, Tosfos says, hacha hachi kamar, it could be what we're saying over here is as follows. Kivin de maisa bas sheva gormalo. Why did Avshalom go through this? Why didn't he have siyata dishmaya? We're not justifying it, but it happens to be because of David's maisa with Bathsheba, that's what caused Avshalom's downfall. Kemoshkosav hinini makim. I'm going to bring up from your household some evil. Amar, so that's what he's saying here. Kivin shebeno nena shal yodo, where the son is being punished because of a parent, yizakenami bishvilo, it's only right that a parent should be able to bring merit to the child. Avshalom ended up in this predicament because of what happened with David. So David has the right to bring him up. Lahalosami miduri gehenim. And that's what David said, I wish I would have died instead of Avshalom. Because he realized it was his avera that caused it. So if Avshalom is suffering because of David's sin, David felt I should have been the one, and Avshalom should have been alive and should have had siyata dishmaya. I was thinking it's a tremendous, tremendous Musar Haskell. The truth is, a child can't grow up thinking, you know, he just wishes if his parents would have been better or whatever, he would have been born in better circumstances with a better family, he would have done better. A person has to accept his own responsibility, nobody's perfect, and this is the situation Hashem wanted him to be in, and everyone has his own isyonos. That's the way a child has to look at it. But looking at it now from the parent's angle, it would seem to me from that marsha, if you had a parent who knows that he hasn't been doing, and I think to myself, you know, in other words, if a parent, let's say a parent reads the paper and he listens to the radio and he's involved in entertainment and he doesn't open up a sefer and he's not learning, and then he has a child who finds it difficult to learn. It could be because the parent himself doesn't have a household that's so inspiring that the child should wanna learn. With such a parent, it would seem clear that if the parent davens that his child should have siyata dishmaya in learning, the child is having it hard because the family atmosphere and the father is not the role model that the child needs. But if a child davens and it's the parent's fault, it would seem that that tefillah should be tremendously effective. Just like if the parents have other character faults. If they're not giving, they're not bali chesed, they're not kind, and the child grows up and he has a hard time doing chesed. But if the parent davens, he wants his child to have a good feeling about doing and helping Klal Yisrael. Wherever the parent has a shortcoming, Tosfos already lays the groundwork. That with tefillah, a parent can bring a child up no matter how bad and how difficult a time the child is having. And with the Marsha's additional thing, that especially if it's a shortcoming caused by the parent, a tefillah of a David, for a son as bad as Avshalom, but that tefillah is tremendously effective. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz used to go on occasion to Yad Avshalom. We learned in the previous perek, there's a monument at the bottom of Har HaZeisim, and he used to go there. You know, a lot of tourists go there. People go and they take a look. And what do you think? I don't know. It's not like you're at the grave of Tzadikim on Har HaZeisim. Yeah, you're at a monument. Nobody's even in it. It's a nice building that Avshalom made that he should be remembered. So he's remembered. Yad Avshalom, he's remembered. But he used to go there, and he used to daven. He was saying tefillos, and people wondering, like, what's Rav Chaim Shmulevitz saying? So he said he's davening, he's always very overcome by emotion, by Yad Avshalom. He said, what stirs him? He said, I think to myself, there can be a son like Avshalom, who does the worst averus. He killed his brother and he lived with his father's pilagshim, and he rebelled against his father, and he pulled the nation against David. It sounds like he's terrible, terrible. And yet you see how David cared for him. And David davened. And David was able to do so much for a child who was no good. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kerachim Ov Albonim. even if we're not so good, even if Klal Yisrael has their shortcomings. But we're standing here by Yad Avshalom and remember the story what a father does for his children in Bani Matem Lashem Elokeichem. We're children to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's where Rav Chaim Shmulevitz would daven to Hashem standing by the Yad Avshalom. Vayavo Yovel HaMelech. So that was David's response. He was overcome by grief and the nation was now mourning. Vayavo Yoav el HaMelech HaBoyis. Yoav now came to the king in the house. Either in this room he's calling the house, or maybe afterwards David was in the house. Yoav decided he must speak to David. Vayomer, and he speaks to David, and it's going to be surprising the way he addresses David. Remember, Yoav was the one who... He had such rachmanis, he felt bad that Avshalom was in exile after killing Amnon. And he worked with David that David should again bring back Avshalom and there should be a closeness. He had such rachmanis that Avshalom shouldn't be cast out. And yet you see there's like no feeling for what David HaMelech is going through. Besides the fact that he's responsible. He's responsible for the death of Avshalom. But Yoav comes into the king. Vayomer, he says like as follows. Hovashta ayom, from the word busha, you've humiliated, you've embarrassed today, es p'nei kol avadecha, the face of all your servants. We're all embarrassed. Hamemaltim es nafshecha ayom, we saved your life today. We fought against Avshalom's army, and we brought victory. We saved your life. Veis nefesh banecha uvenosecha, we saved the lives of your sons and your daughters. V'nefesh nafshecha, the lives of your wives. V'nefesh pilakshecha, and the lives of your concubines, your pilakshin. We've done so much, and you've embarrassed all your servants. The servants put their life, they risked their life to save you. L'mamaltim es nafshecha ayom, they saved you today. And how are you treating these servants who risked their life? And what about your sons and your daughters? Avshalom killed his brother Amnon. If Avshalom would have been king, every one of David HaMelech's sons would be in danger, and daughters. He could have wiped out the whole royal family. And that doesn't matter to you. You're just worried about what about Avshalom? What about all the other sons and daughters? And those sons and daughters that were so faithful and loyal to you, and their life would have been risked by having somebody like Avshalom in control. That doesn't bother you. And what about the lives of your wives and pilakshim? He took your pilakshim and he lived with them. He abused them. And who knows, he would have done the same thing with your other wives. He doesn't care about them. No, nothing else bothers you. Just Avshalom. B'ni Avshalom, Avshalom, B'ni, B'ni. La'ahavo esonecha. In other words, first he mentions... they've saved your lives. They risked their life to protect your lives. And even if you feel it wasn't a danger, but with Avshalom, the opposition to David sided with Avshalom. And all of David's close friends and close allies stayed with David. If Avshalom would get control, La'ava esonecha, you're showing love to your enemy, your enemies. Avshalom has all of David's enemies would have gathered with Avshalom. V'lisnu es o'avecha, and you're showing hatred to those that love you. Or it's we're alive, and Avshalom's forces were defeated, and Avshalom was killed, but that's the enemy. Ki higata hayom, it's as if you would have said today, ki ein lecha sarim v'avodim, you have no officers, you have no servants. It's as if you're saying you have no officers, you have no servants, all you have is your personal life. You're not the king, you're not running a country, you have a personal family situation, and your son Avshalom was killed. Ki odati hayom, I know today, ki lu Avshalom chai, if only Avshalom would be alive, v'chulonu hayom meisim, and would all be today dead, Yoav said, ki oz yoshev einecha, then it'd be good in your eyes. Either he's taking that because David said, I wish that I'd be dead instead of Avshalom, or it could be just the very fact, the grief that he's showing over Avshalom shows that Avshalom's life is more important than anyone else's, even if David's forces would be wiped out. Va'ata, now, kum, get up, say and go out. B'davra alev avadecha. You better speak to the hearts of your servant. Go ahead and speak to them and make them feel good and encourage them that they've done the right thing. Ki v'Hashem nishpat, because I swear by Hashem. Ki eincha yotze, if you don't go out and you refuse to speak to your servants, im yoin ish itcha alayla, I swear by Hashem, there won't be anybody staying with you tonight. Tonight you'll be all by yourself. The country will desert you. V'roh alecha zois, and this will be worse for you. This will be more evil to you. Mikol ha'roh asher bo'a alecha, from everything bad that happened to you, minu recho varata, from your youth till now. And we've learned through all of the tzaros, all the difficulties David HaMelech had. I guarantee you're in for the worst thing unless you speak to your servants. Again, it's shocking, almost the way Yoav, who's the general of David's army, but David is the boss, David's the king, and he speaks with David with such a force, which we've seen before. Yoav seems to do things on his own, and he feels he knows what's best for the country, and he knows what's best for David, and he's doing what's best for David, even if David disagrees. So he tells to David, you better go out and speak to your servants. And you see the anivus, the humility of David. Vayokom HaMelech, the king, got up, Vayeshev Bashar, and he sat in the gate. He accepted. Yoav said this. He accepted what Yoav says. And the Mephoshim point out that you see from here, it's a lesson how a person should act. That sometimes a person is so overcome by grief and by tragedy, but you can't lose yourself. It should never happen to somebody, but he can't lose himself. David here is at a low point in his life. But we're going to see, he gets up, he's going to greet the people, he's going to appoint a new general, he's going to demote Yoav, and he's going to do whatever needs to be done as king. He's going to deal with Shimi ben Gera shortly. And our life goes on. And even though he's got this tremendous grief, but he can't just lose himself and let everything go. He's got to be careful still how he conducts himself and what he does. So the king gets up, Vayeshev Bashar, and he sits by the gate. It doesn't say if he spoke to the people, but the very fact that he came out of the room and he's sitting there, so l'chol ha'am higidu lemer, the word quickly spread among all of the nation that hine ha'melech yoshev bashar. Again, hine, it's a chiddush. All of a sudden the king is out of the room, the crying's over, and he's sitting by the gate. V'yovo chol ha'am lifnei ha'melech, all the people came before the king. V'yisrael nos ish lo halav. In Yisrael, those are the people who were with Avshalom, they each guy fled to his tent. Or as Avshalom's men ran back to their tent. Either they were humiliated, or until now, David HaMelech's men were all embarrassed. But now that David came out, and he showed that he's willing to greet his soldiers, or as he's sort of gotten over to it, to a certain extent he appreciates what was done, so now David's men are able to come out and greet the king. And Avshalom's men fled because could be they were afraid what was going to happen to them. Maybe they'd be punished. Or perhaps simply because of embarrassment. Who are they that they opposed David HaMelech? They were with Avshalom. So they fled to their tents. Vayichol ha'am nodom. And now all the people were nodom. They were debating and arguing with each other. There was a feeling that we had done wrong. And everyone was arguing and debating whose fault it was and why did this happen and we should have acted differently. The people were all nodon, b'chol shivtei Yisrael, among all the tribes, all the shvatim and klal Yisrael. Lamor, they were saying, ha'melech yitzlonu mikapo yivenu. The king saved us from the hands of our enemies. Meaning David. David saved us from our enemies. V'hu miltonu mikaf plishtim. And especially the hands of the plishtim, where there's so much difficulty that Klal Yisrael had with the Plishnim, and David HaMelech saved them. Va'ata barach min ha'aretz mi'al Avshalom. And now David had to flee the country. He fled the land because of Avshalom. It doesn't seem to be that they were worried about their own safety. What's interesting is, and David was careful about this, when Avshalom took over and announced that he was king, David HaMelech left. He left on foot and he just abdicated. He left. But the army was left where it was. David had some supporters came with him. But there was an army left behind. That Amasa became the new general appointed by Avshalom. There was a new general, but there was still an army, and there was obviously law and order in the country. It wasn't like the nations were attacking. There was no great infrastructure. Everything was, there wasn't turmoil or chaos. Everything was under control. Just David left, and there was a new leader. And the question was, who would be the king? But now the people just felt, not that they felt they were in danger now, but how could it be the king that saved us and did so much is now fleeing the country from Avshalom? V'Avshalom Asher Moshachnu Aleinu, and the Avshalom that we anointed for king. It didn't say earlier that he was anointed. It said he became king. But obviously they must have poured the Shemen HaMishcha on him as a sign that he's the new king. And the Avshalom who we appointed, Meis B'Melchama, died in battle. Again, it's funny, they don't mention the fact that they're just like, you know, without mentioning any of the guilt or what, how could they, you know, to back off Shalom who was so bad or rebelled? He died. The king we appointed died. But Va'ata now, Lama Atem Achrishim, why are you being silent, Lahoshiv Esamelech, not to bring back the king? As right now, the Avshalom was killed. And David is on the other side of the Yarden with his men. Let's bring him back. He should be the king. He's the king of Klal Yisrael. V'hamelech David. Now David was aware of this. So the king David shalach el tzaddik velav yoser ha-kohanim. He had these two trusted kohanim who were in Yerushalayim. They were going to send him reports what was happening. But now he took these two kohanim who were the leaders, the Kohen Gadol, the leaders in Klal Yisrael, and he sent tzaddikin of yoser lemor saying, Dabro el zikne Yehuda lemor, speak to the elders of Yehuda, saying, Lo masiyu acharonim, we know that the country is now turning toward David, and they're going to bring me back, but why should Yehuda be among the last, lahoshev es hamelech el beiso, to return the king to his household? You should be involved in bringing me back to the throne. And he spoke to the zikne Yehuda, because those were the ones who backed Avshalom. It was the family of the Shevet Yehuda, those backed Avshalom, but now Avshalom was dead. Don't leave it for the other Shevatim to make the first move. You shouldn't be last, you should be involved to bring the king back to his house, back to the palace. Udevar kol Yisrael, and the word of all of Klal Yisrael, Boel HaMelech El Beiso, has come to the king, El Beiso, that they want to bring the king back to his house. And this is all part of the message sent with Tzadokin of Yosa. Tell the Zikne Yehuda that we're getting reports that Klal Yisrael is going to bring back David. You shouldn't be last. You should be there bringing me back also. Tzadokin of Yosa, the Kohanim were always known as Hevi Mitamidov Shal Aaron, Oev Shalom, Verodev Shalom. They were the ones who were able to make peace. And perhaps to them, David HaMelech chose, they were the leaders of the nation who were beloved, who did the Avodah. And they should be the ones to bring back and tell Shevet Yehuda that they should take the first steps and bring back David. Achayatem, you're my brothers. Atzmi uvesoriatem, you're like my bone, my flesh. Why should you be last, Lahoshiv es HaMelech, to bring back the king? The last pasuk talked about bringing back the king to his house. And the message was, very often when you want to present a proposal, you have to know how to do it. If you speak in a positive way, you present in the right way, you have a greater chance of passing the bill. So here David sent, the message is, why should you be the last one to bring the king back to his palace? But there's an assumption being made that you want me as king, right? Zikne Yehuda now want me as king. Avshalom is dead. I assume if everyone else wants me, you also want me. But that's almost a given. But why should you be the last to bring me back to the house? In Pasuk Yud Gimel, he alludes to the fact you know, maybe you don't want me. Maybe you're afraid I'll be king. Who knows what will happen to you? Maybe I'll punish you. Maybe you're afraid to let me back. So now he says, you're my brothers. You're part of my flesh and bone. Why should you be last lahoshiv es hamelech, to bring back the king? Meaning, you should bring me back. If you're hesitating whether to bring me back as king, you shouldn't be afraid. We're all family, and you should bring me back. V'la'amasa tomru. Amasa was the one who was made general by Avshalom. And it was David's nephew. David had two sisters. One was Tsuruya, who had a son, Yoav, who was the general till now. He had another sister, Avigail, who had a son, Amasa. V'la'amasa tomru, tell this nephew Amasa, who had been made general by Avshalom, who was his first cousin, but tell Amasa, halo atzmi v'sariyata, you're also my bone, my flesh. Koyasali Elokim v'choyosef, I swear Hashem should do this to me. The punishment like Avshalom had. It should happen to me. V'choyosef, and even more punishment, David's saying. This is a lashon of a shvua, like he's swearing, I guarantee to keep my word, and if not, the punishment should be terrible. But he's swearing, im lo sar tzovati lefonai, you will be a general before me, kol hayomim, all the days, tachas Yoav instead of Yoav. And as right now, Yoav is being fired. He's no longer the general. So David took his advice, and we'll see, right now Yoav is not going to get a punishment. But at this point, in his grief, he's able to rationally decide exactly what to do. And for the country also, this would bring a peace within the land. Avshalom was appointed by Amasa was appointed by Avshalom, and Amasa would remain the general. In other words, it's not being viewed as a civil war. It's peace is restored, and Amasa could continue as general. And it'll be kol hayomim. It's not just a temporary measure till David has a strong control. But he swears it'll be kol hayomim. From now on, Amasa will be the general. Vayatis levav kol ish Yehuda. And he turned the heart of everyone in Yehuda ki ish echad. They were united. Everyone together decided. Vayishlechu el hamelech, and they sent a message to the king. Shuv ata v'chol avadecha. Return. You should come back with all of your servants. Everyone wanted David hamelech to come back. Vayoshav hamelech. So the king returned. Vayavu ara yardin, and he came to the yarding. V'Yehuda bo ha-Gilgola. Yehuda, who was on the other side of the Yarden, on the west bank, they came to the place Gilgal. Loleches to go Likras HaMelech. They came to greet the king. David HaMelech came to the Yarden from the other side, and they came to greet the king. Lahaviras HaMelech as a Yarden. To cross the king, to accompanying him as he would cross the Yarden. Vayimaher. And now he hurried Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini. Shimi, the son of Gera ben Hayimini, who came from Shevet Binyamin. Ashemi Bachurim, that came from that city Bachurim. And we learned Shimi ben Gera was the one that when David was fleeing and he was climbing up Har Hazesim on foot with all of his men, Shimi sat there and he cursed him. And he humiliated him. He called him the worst names. And he said any punishment that David would get wouldn't be enough. And he cursed David. And he threw dirt and stones at him. And he showed that David was worthless. Now all of a sudden, he has a problem. And Shimi ben Gera was one of the greatest chachamim. The Gemara says he was the Rebbe of Shlomo HaMelech. But Shimi ben Gera was one of the greatest. And he had opposed David. And now David's coming back as king. So Vayamayar, he hurried Shimi ben Gera ben Hayimini from Bachurim. Vayeredim ish Yehuda, he went down together with the people from Yehuda, Likras HaMelech David, to greet the king David. There's a Gemara Yerushalmi in Rosh Hashanah, in the first perek. And the Yerushalmi says, if a person does a certain Avera, that requires a korban chatos. For instance, he eats chalev, the forbidden fats, or he was machal Shabbos, and avera where there would be kores, that punishment. He brings a korban chatos. And a commoner brings a regular korban chatos, a kispa or a se'ira from a sheep or a goat, the female, the nekeva. A king brought a different korban chatos. When David HaMelech was right now fleeing from Avshalom, he had a status during that time as if he wouldn't be the king. Avshalom was now the king, and David was like a common man. And the Yerushalmi said that if David would have done an Avera that requires a Chatos, he would have brought a korban like we would bring. He would not bring the korban of a king, because he really didn't have the law of a king. Shimi ben Gera wanted David to be Moichel him, to forgive him. And if David is the king, we've learned before, Melech Shemochel al Kavodo ein Kavodo Mochel. A king cannot forego his honor. But Shimi was a tremendous chacham, and he knew that when David was fleeing, he had given up the throne. Avshalom was the king, and David was like a commoner during that time. So whatever happened during that period of time, David could be Moichel. It happened when he had the din of a head yot, a commoner, and if David would forgive him before he becomes king again, Shimi would remain alive. So Vayamaher, Shimi ben Gera hurried. He wanted to catch David before he gets over the Yarden, because once he sets foot on the land, in Eretz Yehuda, on the West Bank, once that happens, David's the king and David would not be able to forgive. So he hurried. Ve'elef ishimo, and he brought with him 1,000 men, mi binyamin, from Binyamin. So David would be more ready to forgive him, because if he doesn't forgive Shimi, and Shimi has 1,000 men from Binyamin, there's still a danger of a civil war breaking out. It seems to be David is not willing to accept Avshalom's men. So he came with 1,000 men from Binyamin as if to say, I have my backers, would you forgive me now? And he also brought Vitziva, we've had earlier, who is Nar Beis Shoal. Shoal's household had a slave. There was Mephibosheth, who was alive, who was lame and wasn't able to walk. And the one who was running the estate was Tziva, this slave. And we're going to learn about him again later. We had him before and we'll have him later. But right now we mentioned that Tziva, the Nar Beis Shoal, also came. When David was fleeing, Tziva had brought supplies. So just seeing Tziva would make David more willing to forgive. So here Shimi came, who had done such a terrible, terrible thing. But he's with 1,000 men, he's with Tziva, and he's going to beg David to forgive him. And Tziva came with his whole entourage, his Vachameshes, Osar Bonav, his 15 sons, Ve'eshrim Avodav, and he had his own 20 slaves helping to run it, the state, Ito with him. The Tzolchu Yarden, they broke through the Yarden, they crossed the Yarden. Rashi seems to say they broke it with their shields. I don't know if everyone stuck out a shield and somehow stopped the water from flowing, but they sort of broke through the Yarden, Lifnei HaMelech, to go before the king. Va'avro ha'avaro, the crossing crossed over, meaning they had a ferry, they had a little boat to cross over the Yarden. Lavir es Beis HaMelech, or they might have gone on foot, but the king's household didn't walk through the Yarden. They had a little boat or a raft or something to cross them. V'lasos hatov ve'einov, and to do whatever would be good in the eyes of David. There were no conditions, there was no stipulations. They came to David, we're accepting you as king, and we're at your service, to do whatever is good in your eyes. V'shimi ben Gera, and at this moment, Shimi ben Gera nofal lifnei HaMelech. He fell down before the king. Ba'avru v'yarden, as the king is crossing the Yarden, the clock's ticking. Shimi ben Gera figured it's now or never. And he fell before David HaMelech right at that moment. Vayomer el HaMelech, and he said to the king, Al yachshav li adoni avon, my master shouldn't consider for me a sin. The fact that I was against you, and I was together with Avshalom, you shouldn't consider it a sin. It was a mistake done by many. Many in Klal Yisrael were after Avshalom. Don't consider that against me. V'al tizkor eis asher hevo avdecha, and don't remember how your servant acted in a perverse and a crooked path I didn't follow the straight, proper road. That's referring to his personal offense. He followed Avshalom like many others, but to go out and curse David HaMelech was his own personal sin. Don't remember Esa Sher Heva Avdecha. Don't remember the sin that your servant did. And it wasn't just the fact that he did this and cursed David, but it was by Yom Asher Yotza Adoni HaMelech Mirushalayim. It was on the day that my master the king went out from Yerushalayim, and David was weary and tired. And right at that moment, Shimi ben Gera came to heap scorn on David. Losum hamelech el libo, that the king should take it to heart. Or the king shouldn't take to heart what I did. But it could also mean when Shimi cursed David, he wanted David to feel it. It wasn't, his whole purpose was to depress David and to cause David anguish. So Shimi spells out exactly what he did wrong. I'm aware of the fact that is the avon, the sin of backing Avshalom. And I have my own personal guilt, the fact that he cursed David. That was the action, Asher Heva. He did wrong by cursing David. And at the time he did it, when David was at a nadir, at the low point in his life, fleeing, tired, weary, it was at that time. And the kavana was Losum HaMelech El Libo. I wanted the king to really take it to heart and to really to break the spirit of David. But I realized I made a mistake. Ki yada avdecha, because your servant knows, ki ani chatosi, I knew that I sinned. I know I've sinned. V'nevosi hayom, and behold, I've come today, rishon l'chol beis Yosef. I'm not waiting for the end. I'm the first of the beis Yosef. Binyamin and Yosef both come from Rachel, from Rachel Imenu. Binyamin was a smaller shevet. Yosef was the more powerful and more influential. So they consider themselves to be Beis Yosef. They're part of the household of Yosef. And I'm the first. I'm here with my men from Binyamin. Lo redes, to go down, likras Adoni HaMelech, to greet my master, the king. I know I've done wrong, and I'm here first to beg forgiveness. The Radak brings down, there's a Medrash, what Shimi said to David was, I'm the first of Beis Yosef. He wanted to mention Yosef. We all know the story of Yosef, what his brothers did to him, and what, and Yehuda was one of them. They sold Yosef, and Yosef in turn repaid them with good, and he took care of them, and he was moichel them. And even though they sold Yosef, Yosef overlooked that. I'm Rishon L'chol Beis Yosef. I'm from the family of Yosef. And therefore, even though I've done wrong, like the brothers sold Yosef at Tzadik, you should forgive me. And the Midrash quotes it as a conversation between two of the Chachamim. And the other Chacham explained, you can explain the Pasuk as Rishon L'chol Beis Yosef. What Shimi told him was, I'm the first of the Beis Yosef. But there's a whole Shevet, there's a few Shvatim, there's Ephraim, there's Menashe, there's Binyamin, there's all these Shvatim looking to see how you're going to treat me. I'm coming down first. If you welcome me, the nation will back you. And if you punish me, there could be war. The people will be afraid. They'll be afraid of you and they'll fight against you. So it was like sort of telling, like sort of warning David, I want you to forgive me, but remember, I'm Rishon L'chol Beis Yosef. I'm the first of Beis Yosef. And everyone's going to wait to see how you treat me. Vayan Avishai ben Tsruya. Avishai ben Tsruya responded, Vayomer, and he said, Hasacha Zos, do you think in place of this, because of this, Lo Yumas Shimi? Shimi's not going to die. What? He comes and he says he's sorry. And that's enough? Kikilos Mashiach Hashem. He cursed. And you're not allowed to curse any Jew. But he cursed the anointed one of Hashem. He was kilos Mashiach Hashem. And therefore, just because he comes and he says he's sorry and whatever argument, we're going to let him go. Vayomer David, And David said, Ma leva lachem b'nei tzuria? What does this bother me? What does it have to do with me and with you, b'nei tzuria, the sons of tzuria? Tzuria was David's sister. These were his nephews. But we had Avishai ben Tzruya, there was Yoav ben Tzruya. So he's speaking to Yoav, but Yoav's brothers were also involved. One brother, Asol, was killed. But what do I have to deal with you, b'nei Tzruya? Kisiyu li hayom l'satan, today you're going to be an adversary. As I tell you what I will decide what I want to do. But to speak up forcefully, now it's Avishai. Before we had Yoav, now it's Avishai ben Tzruya saying, you're gonna leave Shimi alive? Hayom yumas ish be Yisrael. Today is an important person going to die in Klal Yisrael. Do you think I'm going to let Shimi be killed? Ki halo yadati, don't I know? Ki hayom, today I know, ki hayom ani melech al Yisrael. Today I'm the king over Klal Yisrael. And when a person becomes king, very often he would grant amnesty to those who did wrong. And the very fact that I'm the king, I would like to forgive. My coming to power should be a time of joy in the nation, not a time of punishment. And your idea that I should punish those that rebelled and those that went against me, that would just be a satan. That would just cause an adversary, that would cause problems. It would be best for the kingdom and it would be best for me to let Shimi live. Vayomer HaMelech al Shimi, the king said to Shimi, Lo Samus, you will not die. Vayishav Elo HaMelech, and David swore to him that Shimi ben Gera will be left alive. And we'll see later on, Shlomo HaMelech will deal with Shimi.